but let God's love and truth burn within us, full of faith, bright lights, a city set on a hill to brighten the hearts of those still looking for the truly good news of God's kingdom, and glorify our Father in heaven. Our next speaker is Brother Tim Thomason.
My subject is godliness. As ingredients in the recipe of a master chef, or as accomplished musicians in a fine-tuned symphony, the Apostle Peter describes the proper spiritual combination of qualities that makes for a mature, fruit-bearing Christian. And we find these in 2 Peter 1, 5 to 11. Among these is the quality of godliness. Our English word comes from the Greek word eusebia and is used in the New Testament to express the idea of inner piety or spirituality. Vine defines the word as piety, which, characterized by a Godward attitude, does that which is well-pleasing to him. Thus, there are two parts to godliness. First, there is the Godward attitude of reverence and respect. Second, there also is the doing of what is pleasing to God as the duty that we owe to him. As an attitude, godliness is the quality of the inner person that recognizes that the all-powerful Creator exists and therefore actively seeks to develop a spiritual relationship with him. In 1 Timothy 4:8, this inner spirituality is to be preferred over physical bodily exercises. In verse 7, the exercises a godly person should engage in are those which develop further godliness. In 1 Timothy 6:11, godliness is set in contrast to following after the lusts of the flesh and the world. Godliness is a mindset on spiritual matters. Godliness as an attitude permeates all the Christian virtues that Peter lists, as it is the motivating factor behind our growth as Christians. We do not and cannot grow as Christians without first having the desire to be more spiritual, which is the attitude of godliness. Indeed, the graces of virtue, knowledge, and self-control, as well as of patience, must be inspired by godliness, so that the thought of God is brought into them all, so that they begin and end with God. Godliness is required then for those who seek God and for those who seek to be more like the divine nature. Godliness also has its fruits. There must be the doing of what pleases God. We must be careful, though, not to mistake the actions of some as actions of godliness. Morality alone is not godliness, as it may not be motivated by piety and reverence for God. Displays of spirituality or religion also may not be actions motivated by the desire to please God. Many in the denominational world do claim godliness and spirituality as their own. They appear godly by proudly wearing crosses, WWJD bracelets, beads, rosaries, etc. They may speak godly by using such phrases as, "Praise the Lord. I'm having a personal relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah." And their lives seem to exemplify godliness by leading a moral life and by doing good deeds. But we're told in 2 Timothy 3:5 that they practice a form or a semblance of godliness and not true godliness. Godliness is always a result of obeying the truth. Vine comments on several verses along this line and says that in 1 Timothy 6:3, the doctrine which is according to godliness signifies that which is consistent with godliness, in contrast to false teachings. In Titus 1:1, we are told that the truth which is according to godliness is that which is productive of godliness. In 1 Timothy 3:16, the mystery of godliness is godliness as embodied in and communicated through the truth of the faith concerning Christ. Thus, one is godly and acts godly upon obedience of the truth. And where there is no obedience of the truth, there can be no true godliness or spirituality. Instead of a false form of godliness, there are true fruits of godliness that should manifest themselves. Think of a person who you consider to be godly. What is he or she like? Usually we consider one who is godly to be spiritually minded, and to live in such a way as to exhibit this spiritual mindedness in one's life. Of what would this consist? A godly person seeks God on God's terms. Cornelius was called a devout man because he sought to please God. We find that in Acts 10:2. The word devout is a form of the word for godliness. That Cornelius was devout can be seen in his response to the preaching of the gospel by Peter. Our goal should be to know Christ more clearly and more fully. To know him so as to be more like him, to love him better, and demonstrate true godliness in all things. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.